Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your names and your titles really quick.
Toby Lenstein, owner and producer of Toby's Dinner Theater.
And I am Mark Minnick, the associate producer, and Toby's left hand over there at Toby's Dinner Theater, and director choreographer of this production of Godspell we have coming up.
Right. He's really my right hand now. I'm the left hand.
The old left hand, right hand. But yes, as mentioned, it's Godspell, which is going to be running at Toby's from January 8th through February 28th. Thanks so much for joining us. Remind our listeners, we spoke last month about the holiday show. Just recap that really quick. How did everything go, and how did that sort of inspire you guys to say, all right, you know, we dipped our feet back in the pandemic pool, and now we're going to charge ahead and do Godspell?
Jason, we couldn't have asked for a better experience. We opened on November 12th with an original holiday production called Home for the Holidays. We followed all guidelines and restrictions given to us, and we're wondering, how is this going to turn out? It turned out fabulously. The audiences loved it. The cast did a great time. We had no issues. We switched from our traditional buffet to plated table-served dinner service. Our customers are raving about it. We're serving prime ribs, salmon, and many other entrees, and customers are thinking they may want to continue forward this way and not go back to our traditional buffet. And the show itself, we had more comments come in via email, Facebook, and just people sticking out after the show just to say thank you for being open and that they felt safer here than anywhere else they've been. I mean, Toby, you received how many messages?
Oh, tons of messages from people. I want to just say we did all kinds of things to our theater also. We have all kinds of blue lights that are going through our systems, our heating and air cooling systems. We've done everything. And when the health inspectors came in, they went, this place is top A, and we didn't have one point off. We are constantly inspected. Our kitchen is inspected, the theater is inspected, everyone wears masks, and there's bottles of sanitizer all over. I'm very proud of what we do, and people are saying, thank you, we were ready to shoot ourselves from being inside so long. So I'm very proud of my staff and what we've accomplished to help people during this pandemic.
Yes, absolutely. And because of that, you're one of the only few places we can still see live theater. So everyone, we want to talk about Godspell now. Remind us really quick. I mean, it's so famous, you know, both the soundtracks became famous and the show itself is famous. But back up really quick. And just in case some of our listeners don't know what it's about, you know, give us the basic premise.
Sure. Well, it is... It's a musical that's been performed many times, many places, in many ways. It's been an audience performer and one of Toby's favorites for years. You know, the last time we did it at Toby's was back in 2004, and it earned 5 Helen Hayes Award nominations. It has a great score, as you said, by Stephen Schwartz, who did Wicked, and it features songs like Prepare Ye, but I think everyone knows Day by Day, that song. the story can be described as a series of parables. And a parable is a story used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson. But again, it's a series of parables based on the Gospel of Matthew. And through the show, through our production, the characters learn to disconnect from the pressures and the stress of modern day life and technology, and to stop for a minute, to listen, to learn, to truly be present, and come together as a community. And that's what our production of Godspell and Godspell is basically about. It's so unique because it provides the director and the cast such an opportunity to interpret it many different ways, improvisationally, and create their own unique presentation, unique production. I don't think any production of Godspell is like any other. Toby, you've done how many?
This is probably the 7th in the years we've been here.
And each one can be set different places, different locations. And we're setting ours, Jason, in a park right here in the beautiful city of Columbia, Maryland. And through our production, you know, and what our cast has come up with, we learn and have fun through our parables that include Family Feud. We learn from the Rose family, from Schitt's Creek, Empowered Women of Today. The list goes on and on. It's joyous, it's funny, it's touching, and it really is about coming together and building this sense of community and togetherness. And we picked Columbia and a park in Columbia for a very specific reason that Toby can tell you about.
Yes, please do. Tell me why. What's the reason?
I don't know if you know this, but 44 years ago, Jim Rouse saw my work at a theater that I was doing with children and asked me to come to Columbia. And he built a theater, a school for me. And that school really flourished. And he became a big fan of the school. And then when we bought the theater, he was a big fan of the theaters. He loved the kids. I don't know if you know, we had a group called the Young Columbians that toured all over the United States, performed at the Warehouse. That could be another program. Many of them went on to Broadway. But he loved us. And one thing he loved the most was we did Godspell in the Columbia Mall. We put up a stage and did the show. And I have a picture of Jim Rouse sitting there with one of the Young Columbians, one of my students, sitting on his lap and just having a great time. So this show is dedicated to him, who took a city and an area that just was a little bleak and made it into a beautiful, beautiful city filled with everything. Jim would be proud to see what's going on in Columbia. And there's very exciting news coming up that I can't tell you now, but maybe at another story. You will love to hear it. It'll probably be in the papers tomorrow.
Oh, how's yes. that? There was a certain something approved, I believe. That's great.
Oh, you're too smart. You're too smart. How do you know that?
Are we able to talk about it? Because I'm probably going to run this, you know, tomorrow or Thursday before
Bounty. I think we can. It'll be for a long time now. This has been Jim's dream, too, that will there be a wonderful cultural center in Columbia. So we've been trying to get it approved, but it's a big, expensive project. And Calvin Ball, who is the county council executive, has been coming to my theater since he's 12. And he worked very hard to find a way for it to happen. And last night it was approved. It will be a cultural center that will have Toby's Dinner Theater in it. It will have a children's theater in it. It will have classrooms in it. It will have all kinds of things where we're all looking forward to. And a parking lot and lots of ladies' rooms. So don't worry about it, ladies. That's a question I'm always asked. And it's very exciting. It was just passed last night. I don't know when they will start digging. I think it's going to be very difficult because we're in the theater is downstairs and they are going to have to dig through a lot of rock and stuff because there's a lot of equipment being put into the theater that will put all kinds of elements into it. So it's very exciting.
Well, since that's breaking news, it's going to be announced tomorrow. While I have you on here, I'm going to go ahead and run two separate stories on that. I'll run the thing about the cultural center since that'll be the breaking news of the day, and then I can run Godspell on Thursday. That still gives us right before the show starts. If that's cool with you guys,
I may be wrong because my husband just came in and said it was in the Baltimore Sun this morning. Okay. So I guess they watched. You know, it had to be passed by the council. And you could watch that happen on television. So I guess they send someone to watch it and they got that news and they've already, but it was in the Baltimore paper. But
okay, cool. I'd still like to run two separate stories. So we'll circle back to Godspell, in a couple minutes, but let me get some more particulars on that. So who passed it? Is the county council or city council?
It's the county council had to pass it.
It's okay,
built on my land. We're selling our land to a developer, and it will be built on the very land we're on now.
That's
and we've
great.
Been trying to do this for over 10 years.
So if it took 10 years, you know, what were the holdups, or was there any doubt, or you know, how did it finally pass? Why was now the time?
Well, it was a lot of money. I don't even want to tell you how much money.
Oh, but you got to, because I'm going to Google it anyway.
millions. And we needed someone to say, we're going to help do this. And they were able. I just can't go into it. Why don't you call the people at the county council and get the, or I'll send you who to call. Okay. I don't know what I should be saying now. Isn't that crazy? But it's a lot of money, more money than you could ever dream.
All right.
I think what we can talk about, though, is that for years and years, like you said, Jim Rouse brought you here to Columbia to build this beautiful city. And Toby's has represented the arts and arts education for over 40 years in Howard County.
Right.
Cultural arts is a long time coming for such an amazing city as Howard County is, to not have a place that represents the arts and culture was something missing. And so to add this new cultural center, that Toby's right, we'll have a new modern Toby's Dinner Theater. It will have a home for her school, Columbia Center for Theatrical Arts.
You know what I think? Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. We'll have a black box dedicated children's theater for the county now. And we're going to be located right there, right across from Meriwether. It's the location is prime. The need is prime. And it's about time that this came through.
Yes.
The county realized, there were financial issues and things that were discussed like any project of this size would have. But I think everybody realized the importance of the arts, especially right now. It's needed more than ever. And when this pandemic is over, how exciting to have this new wonderful location where we can come together and create and build and educate the youth of today as well. And it's also going to feature, there's going to be classes, Jason, it's not just us, other people will join us for classes in visual arts, culinary arts. It is the center for the arts, and the arts are all encompassing. So it'll be everything in there. And plus we have 7 levels of housing attached to the building.
I was just going to say that, which I call artist flats above us.
Right, and affordable housing.
Affordable housing.
Which is also very important to the downtown Columbia plan. So it's just, it's a mind-blowing project. It has taken so much work and time from so many people, but I think anything worth having is worth fighting for, and we all fought the good fight, and what's going to come out of this is going to be just such a great tribute to everything that Hal and Toby have done for the arts, just speaking to our portion of it, for over 40 years. And Jim Rouse, again, who we're dedicating Godspell to, I think would be thrilled to see what is going to be here in Columbia and represent Toby and the arts. He originally found her and brought her here, and it will go on and on and on. It's just a beautiful thing. We're so excited.
Yeah.
So between the cultural center and Meriwether and then the mall, I mean, do you envision Columbia is going to be a hot spot destination for culture and arts now?
Oh, yes. And now there's an ice skating rink that was just put in there. It's going to be the place to go for entertainment. And their big new hotel. And that's why the timing is right for a building like this, and one that will have all kinds of new things in it.
Columbia is going to be referred to as the third city. It's already been out there in success. Baltimore will be the third city.
I mean, you have to remember this, when Jim Rouse got here, this was all farmland, and he was coming in with such innovative thoughts. I mean, he did all kinds of things here, and people were so skeptical. And they're very skeptical of me, too, when we came in, you know, that we should have a musical dinner theater coming in. Well, what's that about, you know? And one that served dinner and served liquor and had a liquor license. I mean, these were all new things that we take for granted now.
Absolutely. We don't have to get bogged down in the numbers and finances. Let's talk about sort of the fun stuff about it. What's the general timeline? Like, when is it expected to be completed?
I don't know anything. Well, this just happened last night.
Okay.
I don't know when they're going to, because it's the winter, I don't know when they're going to be able to put the shovels in. Okay. We have to finish all the schematics. I mean, we ended when we didn't have the money. We ended all the plans. The plans are, what would you say, Mark, 90% done?
I would say yes, things are 90% done, but well enough to keep the project moving forward.
Right.
The goal will be to get going in the next few months.
And yeah, we have to finish the plans. All the plans have to be finished.
Within the first, it looks to be, you know, 18 to 24 months for the first phase. And the first phase will be the new Toby's Dinner Theater. And then after that, over the next 2 years, the parking deck will be built, the grand lobby, the black box theaters and dance studios and classrooms, and then the apartment housing on top as well. So it's a good 4 to 5 year project.
Right. And then on top, on one, we have a rooftop performance area as well, that you can really stand there and you can, or you can have seats and listen to the music at Wolf Trap. At Merriweather.
Unless they're playing really loud at Wolf Trap, maybe it'll carry.
I was going to say that we have great binoculars.
That's great. Okay, cool. So that's a little bit of the timeline. So if they're building the bigger, better Toby's first, what's the, like, are you guys going to be able to keep your current location
open, putting on shows? Yes, this is what's going to happen. That's going to be built, and Toby's will be able to operate, okay? As soon as that's built, the Toby's portion of this building will be able to move over to the new facility, and they will knock down the old Toby's. It's all on my land. So the new Toby's will really face that street and be right on the curbside of when you come in. The plans are very exciting. They really are. I haven't looked at them in 2 years because I didn't want to feel sad, but now it's time to bring them back out.
That's great. So yeah, that was my question. And so you will be able to keep operating the current historic location until the new one's built, and then you'll just move over and then knock it down. You won't knock it down first. You're going to build the second one concurrently. Right. Gotcha. Okay. Awesome. Well, I think that gives me plenty to go with for that one. Pivoting back to Godspell. So it's like you're saying, it's based on a bunch of parables, primarily from the Gospel of St. Matthew. And just as a little side note, there's a great Italian movie called The Gospel According to St. Matthew by Pasolini that came out probably like a few years before Godspell. And then you had Jesus Christ Superstar coming around the same time. Why do you think that, you know, late 60s, early 70s time was when people were taking the biblical materials and starting to, you know, jazz it up for musicals? Like, why do you think that was percolating in the pop culture?
The flower children, going back to our roots, making our roots something contemporary, doing something contemporary with our roots, and finding different ways to present the Bible.
Awesome. And as you say, so there's eight, you know, there are parables, but there are eight non-biblical characters. So who are some of these characters and some of the parables that are tackled?
Mark?
We have a cast of 10, and there's Jesus and John the Baptist / Judas, and then eight other characters. Well, the characters are the people themselves. So right. You get a script that describes who the original people are, but ours are, you know, some of our Toby's favorites that have been with us for a while. So you have, you know, Janine and Russell Sunday, David James, Jeffrey Schenkel, DeCarlo Raspberry. They play themselves. Of course, we take on characters, but what they do is they bring their unique sense of self to it.
I have to just interrupt you, Mark, a second. I just wanted to tell you, Jason, how safe we are, and Mark is very cautious and safe in directing. All the actors wear masks, but when you see them, you can hardly tell they're wearing masks. They are all 6 feet apart. They are 6 feet away from our customers. We only are seating 80 people or 85. The tables are 6 feet apart from one another. This is not a money-making project, nor has the last show. It's an opportunity to give actors work. It's an opportunity to have audiences come in to have a little food, see a wonderful show, and feel a little relieved from what they're going through in life, and feeling the safety of the building. From the minute you walk in, your temperature is taken, your hands are washed with the sanitizer, and you walk in. Everybody is masked. you feel very safe. Mark has done an incredible, incredible job spreading the actors. The difficulty of this piece is it's really a piece about people loving one another and coming together. But because of the virus and all, actors can't touch. They can't hug, which is when I directed, it was all about hugging and kissing. And but you can't. You have to show those emotions now in other ways. And Mark is able to do that. And so it's a whole new way of directing. We don't use more than 10, 12 people in a show because we can't spread them out that far. We don't have people sitting very close to the stage anymore. It's the safest place. I can't tell you how many people have said to me, this is the safest place I've been to in a long time when I've been out. So it has its challenges, but you meet the challenges the way you have to in a creative way. Am I right, Mark? Mark, hello.
Absolutely, Toby.
The challenge about keeping a story about love and with everybody keeping them 6 feet apart is tough.
Yeah, for sure. You know, so that's sort of the safety stuff. Talk about the theatrical production itself, like visually when we walk in there, what sort of sets and costumes and all that are we going to see?
Well, Jason, what we've done is we've set our production in a park in Colombia. So audiences will walk in and we will see a outside park setting. And projected on the walls will be images of iconic locations of Colombia. And our production, like you said, you interpret it many different ways. Our production starts, and I don't want to give too much away, but it pays homage to Jim Rouse, the founder of Columbia. So we won't say how it does that, but anybody with a connection to Columbia or knows who he is and the stories Toby has told will grasp that right away. And if they don't know who Jim Rouse is, it doesn't matter. It will still be very accessible to them. So we come in and we find that our characters are in their phones. They're not paying attention to the world around them. Here they are in a beautiful outside park, but life seems black and white. Life seems small. It seems on the screen. The technology is keeping them in their phones instead of looking up and around and at each other. And as the show moves forward, we learn to move away from that, to listen to others, to be present, to form a community. And through different parables, which we, again, you take liberty and improvisation with, like I discussed, one may be told through the premise of the Family Feud. One may be told through a improvisation with using the characters from Schitt's Creek. But we go through parables of the persistent widow, the Pharisee and the tax collector, the Good Samaritan, the sower, the prodigal son. And through those, we learn the lessons and how we can apply them to today and to life. And at the end, we wind up realizing that, you know, we take liberties here by saying we don't want our phones back. But that's our show lesson. But in life, we say, hey, you know what? It might be nice to look up, look out, connect with people, be present in life, listen and learn. There's so much out there if we take those moments to disconnect and connect in a very different way. Build a community, which is what Jim Rouse wanted to do when he brought everyone together. He brought everyone to the city of Columbia. He built an interfaith center where everyone could go together of any denomination to pray together, to be together, to come together. And that's what our show focuses on and builds.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect theme. You know, if there's one silver lining of this whole quarantine year that we've had is maybe it has made us unplug a little bit from our phones, like you said, and get in touch with people and, you know, things like that. Okay, cool. Well, I think we'd be remiss if we don't go into a couple of the songs you mentioned, Day by Day. What makes that song so great? And what are some of the other ones in the songbook here?
Well, it's Prepare Ye the Way of the Lord, Save the People, Day by Day, By My Side, Turn Back, Oh Man, Light of the World. The score is great. I mean, Jason, used to have a huge musical theater record album collection. Anything that was put on an album is an old thing pressed on. I used to have a huge collection of record albums, and I got rid of all of my record albums, and I saved three or four that meant something special to me, and my original album of Godspell is one that I saved. It's just... It touched people. It reached people. It connected on many different levels to people. It was, I think it reached number like I think Day by Day was like number 13 on a Billboard's pop single chart when it came out. So it just, it really connects. You know, the biblical stories connect to many people in many different ways, can be interpreted many different ways. And the music is also, it's simplistic in many ways and not.
But very catchy.
Very, very catchy.
Very catchy and very singable. Mark, the other thing is the song, a new song was added, I think maybe 8 years ago, and it was called Building a Beautiful, Build to Build, what is it, To Build a Beautiful City or Building a Beautiful City? What's the
proper? The lyric is We Can Build a Beautiful City, but the song is called Beautiful City.
Beautiful City. Now, that exemplifies what Jim Rouse did. That's what made us all think, wow, this really is Jim Rouse, who is the person that we want to honor here.
Yeah, I was going to say that fits right into the new art center and everything. That lyric is going to be very perfect, timely when we hear that at the show.
Yes.
Well, thanks so much. And thanks for sticking around a little longer so I can get a second piece out of the Art Center. I think it's going to make two great pieces. So thank you so much. Again, everyone, it runs, it's Godspell, January 8th through February 28th at the one and only Toby's Dinner Theater in Columbia. Hey, thanks so much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for supporting the arts in these times. Yeah. We appreciate it. Thank you.